at verse number 16, and we came to our fifth comparison. In chapter number 1, verse number 14, Peter likens us, or says, or really commands, that we be as obedient children. In chapter number 1, verse number 14. In chapter number 2, verse number 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes. And what do newborn babes do? He says, you are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse number 5, ye also as what? As lively stones. But we're not dead anymore. Stones don't do anything, do they? They just kind of lie there, don't they? But when they've been quickened by God Almighty, when they've been quickened by the Spirit of God, the Bible says that they are lively. And then in verse number 11, the Bible says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And then this morning we saw in verse number 16, we saw the first as in verse number 16, as free. He has freed us from the shackles of sin, and He's freed us so that we can serve the Savior. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, because in verse number 16 we also have another as. He says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And we spoke about this morning, but there are so many Christians today who use, they abuse that word liberty, and they have perverted it to mean something that it does not mean. God has freed us from the shackles of sin, but He hasn't freed us to go back to the sin. He's freed us to serve Him. And that's what the Bible says in the last part of verse 16. But as the servants of God. And so I want to look at that tonight, our sixth as. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Sing While You Serve. Sing while you serve. And I want to give us, and we're going to go back to a passage we were in this morning, and I want to give us several admonitions of how we are supposed to serve. And so let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. After we pray, we're going to go back to the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 2, and we're going to look at some admonitions tonight of how we're supposed to serve. Father, we love You tonight. Father, we're grateful to be in this place. And Father, we're asking that You'd help and teach us tonight. And Father, we're asking that You'd do a work in our hearts. Help us to be reminded once again of what You have saved us to. We're saved to be the Christians that You saved us to be. We're saved, we're freed, we're delivered, we're rescued to be the servants that You have saved us to be. And I pray that we will be reminded of that tonight. Father, I'm not naive to think that there might be an individual in here tonight who has never been freed from the shackles of sin. And Father, if there's a lost person in here tonight, I pray that before we leave this place, before we leave this property, that they would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They would see the truth that they are a sinner and that they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Teach us and help us tonight. Father, we ask that You'd be with those that are away from us tonight for whatever reason. Father, we pray that You'd bless. We pray that You'd challenge and convict if that would be necessary tonight. We pray that You'd bring them back together with us at the next appointed time. Father, we commit these next few moments to You. We ask that You would bless them as only You can, and we'll thank You and praise You for what You'll do in our hearts in these minutes that we have. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Titus chapter number 2 tonight, and we'll look at the two verses that we saw this morning. We said that as servants, or as free people this morning, we said that true freedom, one of the things that it does is that it adorns the Word. True freedom, biblical freedom, adorns the Word of God. I want us to read again Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And we know Titus chapter number 2, the aged men are teaching the young men, the aged women are teaching the young women. And he comes down to verse number 9, and he speaks about the servants. In verse number 9, the Bible says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Now, this really isn't the message tonight, but I mean, it applies to the message. It's part of the message. But when we see this idea of servants in this connotation, in this passage, he's talking about a slave. He's talking about individuals who had a master, and they were slaves to this master. Look what he says to these Christian servants. He said, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Sing while you serve. Number one tonight, we are admonished to serve obediently. We are admonished to serve as the servants of Jesus Christ, as the servants of God Almighty. We are admonished to serve obediently. Take your Bibles, hold your place here in Titus chapter 2. We'll be right back in just a moment. But take your Bibles if you would and go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6. We are admonished, first of all, tonight to serve obediently. Whether that's a master, whether that's a boss, or most importantly, God Almighty, we are admonished to serve obediently. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 5. The Bible says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. We are admonished to serve obediently, because here's the truth tonight. When we obey any authority figure, it doesn't matter who that authority figure is, when we obey, we are to obey as if we are obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are obeying that individual, we are obeying that human being, but we are to obey them as if we are obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the truth tonight. When someone gives us a task, and kids tonight, when mom and dad tell you something to do, the first response should not be, why? Now, parents, I'm trying to help you. You could have helped me right there. The first response shouldn't be, why? The first response should be, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I'll do it immediately because God has called me to obey. Whether that's your child, whether that's an adult, obey. By the way, I hear preachers sometimes making light and making jokes about driving fast and driving above the speed limit. I'm going to tell you what, that ought not be laughed at from a preacher. That ought not be laughed at from a preacher. Because I am supposed to be just as obedient to any authority figure, just like these young men on these front rows, just like my son right there is supposed to be obedient to his mom and dad. I am supposed to be obedient. By the way, we're going to go back in just a moment. We saw that this morning. By the way, let me just read it. You don't have to turn back there. But in 1 Peter chapter number 2, that's the essence of what we were looking at this morning. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 13, the Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now listen, I understand tonight our government officials have way overstepped their bounds of authority. I get that tonight. But government was set up to punish the evildoer and to protect those who are doing right. That's what it was set up for. Now the Bible says if any authority, if government ever steps over its boundaries and goes against God's Word, we are first and foremost to obey God's Word. First and foremost to obey God's Word. But when a government official, when an authority sets up a law that does not go against God's Word, I'm supposed to be obedient to it. And it bothers me sometimes. By the way, you say, Pastor, you don't ever speed. No. I catch myself sometimes. By the way, my son and I, we were driving down Forky Deer Road the other day. We'd just taken the trash off and we were coming back. And I noticed he was looking kind of funny. He said, Daddy, why are you going so fast? Pastor, you don't ever speed. Yeah, occasionally I do. But when I do, I'm going to make sure I back off and I'm not going to get in the pulpit and brag about disobeying authority. Listen. That is a blight against the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was talking about in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. He said in verse number 15, he said, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may do what? Ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." I submit to us, first of all, tonight, that we are admonished to serve obediently. One other passage, if I could, real quickly, would you go to Colossians? It says almost, and we're going to see it says almost the same thing as Ephesians chapter 6. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, we are admonished to serve obediently. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 22. The Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, not just when they're watching, and not just for eye service so that you'll look good in their eyes." No. He says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Why should you obey? It should be done in singleness of heart. It should be done as unto God, verse 23. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto me." Listen, if you ever get in a state where in your service to the Lord, you start getting a little weary and you start getting a little spirit of murmuring and complaining, just stop and remember who you're doing it for. "Well, man, the pastor, he just asks us to do everything. And man, Steve, he just makes us practice and practice and practice, inquire." And boy, we start to get a little bit of that murmuring and that complaining spirit. We need to take a step back and remember, who am I doing this for? I'm not doing it for Brother Steve. I'm not doing it for the pastor. I'm not doing it for anybody in church to see and to pat me on the back. I'm doing it in singleness of heart, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing, verse 24, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Who are we serving tonight? Yes, I know you're going to go to work tomorrow and you have a boss and you have to obey. But ultimately, who are we serving? It's Christ. Even when I obey that boss, it's Christ. Hey, kids tonight, even when you obey that teacher tomorrow, you are being obedient to Christ. And you're serving Christ as unto God and not unto men. Number one tonight, we're admonished to serve obediently. Let me give you a second tonight, back in Titus chapter number 2. We're admonished to serve obediently, but secondly, we're admonished to serve acceptably. We are admonished to serve acceptably. Titus chapter 2, verse number 9, once again. The Bible says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters." We're admonished to serve obediently and to please them well in all things. We are admonished to serve acceptably. By the way, we're not pleasing them. When we're pleasing them, ultimately, as we said just a moment ago, it's not that we want to please them in all things. Ultimately, it's that we want to please the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. And by the way, if I will do that, then I will definitely please those under which I or over which God has placed that authority. I will well please that authority figure. We're admonished to serve acceptably. Let me read, and you don't have to turn there, you can, but Romans chapter number 12. The same word. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy," what's the next word? "Acceptable." Holy! Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look, we're admonished. He says in 1 Peter 2:16, "As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." And he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We live in such a day that, hey, just anything goes. And boy, if I serve God, God's happy with any service that I give Him. No, it must be holy and acceptable. Listen, good intentions are no substitute for God's instructions. All we have to do is go back to the Old Testament. All we have to do is go back to when they put the ark on a new cart. Good intentions. They weren't listening to God, were they? They put the Ark of the Covenant on that cart. And by the way, who else did that? The Philistines did that. They're copying the world. The Philistines have put it on a new cart. And they put it on a new cart. And it shakes a little bit because of the oxen. And the Bible says Uzzah puts forth his hand. What happened to Uzzah? God killed him. You see, we're just... God the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm thankful today we live in a day of grace and mercy. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful today that they don't take teenagers out and stone them when they're disobedient to their parents. But God hasn't changed. And God still has expectations for His children. And He admonishes us, and we are admonished to serve acceptably, which is, the Bible says, your reasonable service. Look at one other passage, if you would, regarding this word acceptably. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 13? Would you go there quickly? Not far from Titus, where you're at. Hebrews chapter number 13. We're admonished to serve obediently. We're admonished to serve acceptably. By the way, one of the easiest ways for a Christian to serve obediently is simply just by being obedient and being present at the services in God's house. Listen, I'm going to tell you why. I'm just forever perplexed. This on again, off again, on again, off again, on again, off again by supposed children of God Almighty. You're here one service and you're gone the next. You're here one service, you're gone two services. And I say, you're here tonight. That's not who I'm talking about. But folks are here one service, they're gone for two services. That perplexes me. Remember that recidivism rate we talked about this morning? I'm thankful we can't lose our salvation. But man, Christians, they just always running back to the old life. Just always running back to the bondages of sin. I don't get that tonight. We are admonished to serve obediently, and we're admonished to serve acceptably. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. The Bible says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. But so many times we just won't let Him work in us. We have so much other stuff in our lives and so much other junk in our lives. We just don't let Him work in our lives. We looked at this recently, a few weeks ago, about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look, I've got the Holy Spirit, but being filled with the Holy Spirit is simply being yielded to Him completely and 100%. But we put so much stuff in our lives that we just crowd out the Holy Spirit and we quench the Holy Spirit and we push down the Holy Spirit. He's still there. We haven't lost Him. But we've just put so much other junk on top of Him. We're quenching Him. And He's not able to work in us. And remember those lines? The conduit through which the Holy Spirit flows? That oil, the Holy Spirit's a representation of oil, or oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And boy, the Holy Spirit ought to be flowing through our lives, but we fill it up with so much junk. Boy, our lines get clogged, don't they? He's still there. We just don't let Him work. And the Bible says here, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing. The sweet-smelling savor, as Ephesians 5 speaks about, that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Number one tonight, we're admonished to serve obediently. Listen tonight, let's just be obedient in our service. If God has told us to do something, look, the Great Commission is a command. It's not multiple choice. It's a command. You know what, tonight we ought to be obedient in that. We are admonished to serve obediently. I've already mentioned it. But being present in the house of God is a command. It's not multiple choice. It's not a buffet. I'll take what I want. I'll choose. I want that. I don't want that. Man, I don't really like. No. It's a command. It's not an option. We're to serve Him obediently. We're to serve Him acceptably. Number three tonight. We're admonished to serve. Look at Titus chapter 2 once again. Titus chapter 2, we're admonished to serve Him quietly. We're admonished to serve Him obediently. We're admonished to serve Him acceptably. We're admonished to serve Him quietly. Notice what the Bible says there in Titus chapter 2, verse number 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things acceptably, not answering again. Quietly. By the way, that phrase carries the same idea as in chapter 1, verse number 9, when it talks about the gainsayers. He says, not answering again. That's what I mentioned just a moment ago when somebody gives us something to do and we're like, why? Why should I have to do that? No. Yes, sir, whatever you ask, that's what I'm going to do. Teenagers tonight, your mom and your dad give you something. By the way, teenagers, young people, doesn't matter if you're a teenager. If you're under the authority of mom and dad and still in the home tonight, when mom and dad give you a job to do, you don't need to answer again. You know what we call that? We call it back talking. We call it back talking. Don't need any back talking. Just do it. Just be obedient. Hey, adults tonight, when God gives us something to do, you know what we need to do? We just need to be obedient. No back talking. But God, what about this? But God, you know my schedule. But God, you know I don't have enough money to tithe. But God, you know this. But. And God says, not answering again. No back talking. Just obey my word. Now, please don't misunderstand tonight. If someone has the right spirit and says, yes, sir, I'm going to do that. If they need explanation of how to do it, it's okay to ask. By the way, God is good at giving us explanation on how to do things, isn't He? You know, there may be sometimes I tell my kids to do something and I haven't showed them how to do it. And they're just looking at me like, okay, Daddy, I'll do it, but I don't know how to do it. You know, we need to show them. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about this spirit in our age of just constant back talk and who are you to tell me what to do, and we're constantly questioning everything that mom and dad tells us to do. Mom and dad gives you a job, do it. Do it! Don't ask why. Don't say, well, I'll do it later. Don't say, well, I don't feel like it. Don't say, well, I'm tired. I had a rough day at school. You know why I have a rough day? Your mom and dad had at work? A million times worse than your little rough day at school. Just do what they say. And by the way, adults, we better be the same. And God gives us something to do. We need to obey it. We're admonished to serve obediently. We're admonished to serve acceptably. We're admonished to serve quietly. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Pastor wants me to do this. Brother Steve wants me to be here at 4:30 for choir practice. You know what? I'm going to be there at 4:40. I ain't going to be there at 4:30. I'll show him. You know what? We get that spirit sometimes, don't we? Well, who is he to tell him I got to be here at 4:30? Good gracious, that doesn't give me any afternoon to do anything. You know what that does? It just reveals my spirit. Because if I want to serve in the choir, I'm ultimately serving Jesus Christ. And so when the choir director asks me to be there at 4:30 and I start mumbling and complaining and groaning, who I am really mumbling and complaining and groaning against is Jesus Christ Himself. We just read that, didn't we? Didn't we just read that? Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter number 6, we just read it. We don't do things as men pleasers. We don't do things for eye service. We do them heartily as unto the Lord. If nobody else sees, we still do it. The joy of the Lord is my strength, not somebody else's pat on the back. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We are admonished to serve quietly, not answering again. Hey, teenagers, I say teenagers, young people, really all of us tonight. That'd be a good three words. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, if you're okay with that, those would be three good words to underline. Not answering again. Not answering again. When I was a teenager, I backtalked my mom one time. And I'm ashamed that I did it. I came home from school one afternoon, and when my brother and I, we would get home from school, we'd have to go in immediately, we'd grab a little snack, we'd change our clothes, and we were headed to the milk barn. And I was tired that day, and I had a little bit of a headache, and I came in, I got off the bus, and I came in. And I don't remember exactly what happened. I don't remember all the details and everything, but I remember my mom saying something to me. Probably what happened, I was probably lollygagging. I was probably being slow to get to the barn. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but she said something to me. And I said something back. She didn't do anything. But I knew immediately, you better get to the barn. And when I came home that night back from the barn, my mom and my dad went into the bedroom. And I thought, oh no, this isn't good. And I didn't backtalk my mom again, because my dad took care of it. Hey, young people, don't backtalk your mom and dad. It's not right. It's wickedness against God Almighty. God, especially y'all who are here tonight, because if you're here tonight, God has put you in a wonderful home where you've got a loving mom and dad who bring you to the house of God to hear the Word of God. They're teaching you the Word of God. They want the best for you. Don't backtalk mom and dad. Not answering again. Number three, we're admonished to serve quietly. Number four, we're admonished to serve faithfully. Look at Titus chapter 2 once again. We're almost done. Hang with me. We're admonished to serve faithfully. Look at verse number 10 of Titus chapter number 2. By the way, mom and dad, let me say this. Don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. God has placed you in that home as the authority. You don't have to let them do that. Don't let them do it. We've got this mentality in our, and it's been this way for a long time. We've got this mentality in our society that when young people turn teenage years, that there's just nothing we can do with them. That's not biblical, friend. That's not biblical at all. Well, I've got a teenager now. Yeah. So? Still should be a good time in the home. It shouldn't be a lot of chaos and turmoil and fighting and arguing in the home just because you have a teenager. Just because someone turned the magical age of 13 doesn't mean that they have a license to be rebellious. And God help mamas and daddies who give them the license to be rebellious. Okay. Okay, sweetheart, if you don't want to do this, okay, I don't want to make you mad. No. You're still mama and you're still daddy. Still. Until they leave that home. Don't give them the license to be rebellious. You either wear them out until they come into compliance. Actually, there is no other. That's the answer. You wear them out until they come to compliance. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about biblical discipline. Well, I just can't handle this individual. You can't handle them because you're not doing what the Bible says. Look, I have moms and dads who tell me all the time, well, I do this one, but boy, he's just rebellious and he's disobedient and he won't listen. Then you're not disciplining. You're not disciplining the way the Bible says. Now, none of us are perfect tonight. No mom and dad are perfect on this. We need God's grace and mercy. But if we'll listen a little bit more to the Word of God, we'll do a little bit better in this area. Instead of just when they turn 13, listen, when you're 15, you'll get your driver's permit. But when you're 13, here, I'm going to give you another license. A license to rebel. That's not in the Bible. We've just allowed society to teach us that. That the teenagers are in charge when they turn 13. Okay, here's the thing. If they want to start paying all the bills, then they can be in charge. When they start making the mortgage payment, they start making the cell phone payment, they start making any other payment, paying the electric bill, whatever other bills you have, if they want to do that, then maybe we can talk about it. But see, you think they're not. And so you're still in charge. Be the authority. Well, if my child wants to come to Sunday school, I'll bring... Why don't you just be the daddy and just bring them? Well, if my child wants to come to Sunday night, if they want to come to Master Club on Wednesday night, if they want to go to camp this summer... No, if! You're the daddy. You tell them what to do. Well, if I tell them what to do, then they'll just hate God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If I tell them what to do, they're just going to hate church and God. Not if you do it right. Not if you do it biblically. I don't want to push them away from church. Well, you're allowing them to make the choice not to come to church. What? We are admonished to serve faithfully. Verse number 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Number 4, we're admonished to serve faithfully. The word purloin means to steal. It means to keep back. The word fidelity means reliable and trustworthy. We're admonished to serve faithfully. Faithfully. God is always faithful, we're not. But we sure ought to strive to be faithful. Faithful. Listen, dear friend, tonight, church family, I'm thankful for people. I don't ever have to wonder whether they're going to be in their place or not. They're there. I don't ever have to wonder about it. I don't ever have to worry or say, well, you know, I better have a backup plan because they may not be here Sunday or they may not be here Wednesday. I better have a backup plan. I'm thankful for people who are just faithful. The preaching's good, the preaching's not good, and most of the time it's not good, and they're just faithful. Because they're not coming for a person, they're coming for Jesus Christ. They're coming for Jesus Christ. They're coming because they want to serve obediently because God tells us to come. We are to serve faithfully. I've got several passages, but for sake of time. But probably the one of the best passages in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 39. Joseph. Bible says in Genesis 39 that Potiphar didn't know anything that was in his house. Didn't know how much money he had. Didn't know really the state of his crops. Really didn't know how wealthy he was. He just trusted Joseph with everything. That's how faithful Joseph was. That's how reliable. That's how trustworthy. Not purloining, not stealing, not holding back, not embezzling. Potiphar never worried about Joseph stealing from him. Because he was trustworthy. He was reliable. Listen, that ought to be the same way that God looks at us. Boy, I don't ever worry about him stealing from me. I don't ever worry about him stealing my time. Worry about him stealing my money, my tithe. I don't worry about that. Why? Because he's reliable. Because he's trustworthy. We're admonished to serve faithfully. Dear friends, tonight I pray. I said it this morning. I believe the day of the Lord is hastening soon. It's hastening. Look around us. We see everything that's going on. We need to be faithful in this place where God has planted us and the influence that God gives us right in on our streets, on our roads, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. We need to be faithful until the Lord comes back. Let me give you number 5 and we're done tonight. Would you take your Bibles and go to Psalm 100? Because some of you are sitting there wondering, what in the world was this title all about? Would you go to Psalm 100 tonight? We're admonished to serve obediently. We're admonished to serve acceptably. We're admonished to serve quietly. We're admonished to serve faithfully. And then lastly tonight, number 5. We're admonished to serve joyfully. Did you notice what the Bible says in Psalm 100? Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. What's the first word in verse number 2? Serve. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. You know what to help you to serve? You know what to help you to serve better? You know what to help you to serve more obediently? You know what to help us to serve more faithfully? You know what to help us to serve more acceptably? You know what to help us to serve more quietly? It's when we serve with a song in our heart. So the Bible says, He said, come before His presence with what? He says, serve the Lord with gladness. How do I do that? When I come before His presence with what? Singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. This is a psalm that we read at Thanksgiving time in November. Listen, this is a psalm we ought to have on our hearts all year long. The Bible says, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And tomorrow when we go to work and that boss just piles and piles and piles more jobs and more projects on us, you know what to help us to serve obediently? And acceptably and quietly. You know what to help us to do that? And faithfully? If we say, you know what? Whew, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. If we've got a song on our heart. And I'm not talking about a song where the husband and wife are arguing and they're divorcing and the husband's out drinking at the bar. And the song's talking about, man's talking about his truck and his dog that he carries in the truck. God deliver us from that mess. I know we live in the South, but good gracious. We listen, we pump that country music into our lives, and it doesn't do anything but make us a bunch of complainers and murmurers. Because that's all they do in the music. And I mentioned country music, but can we just go down the list? Do I need to hit all of us tonight? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. But I'm going to tell you what, if we have that song on our heart, it's going to make us serve better. It's going to help us to serve obediently and quietly and acceptably and faithfully. Because the boss can throw project after project after project. Hey, Satan can come and knock on our door tomorrow and throw dart after fiery dart after fiery dart after fiery dart. But if we've got a song in our heart and we come into His presence with thanksgiving, we serve Him with gladness and come before His presence with singing. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. It'll help that murmuring and complaining spirit. For the Lord is good. And He's not just good if you have an easy day tomorrow. He'll be good tomorrow no matter what happens. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. I talked to my daughter at the beginning of this week, and she had, out of her whole year of her first year of college this year, this week was probably her hardest week. I don't know why. She's only got 2 weeks left. Final start Friday. Boy, it's the end. It's the end. It ought to be good. She had a hard day. She had a hard time this week. And I talked to her Monday. And she didn't feel well Monday. Matter of fact, she had to take a sick day. First sick day she's taken all year, and she had to take a sick day. And then she had a couple projects she had to get done by Wednesday. And I talked to her Tuesday, and her computer wasn't working. So we talked, and she cried a little bit. And I got off the phone, and I sent her a message. And I just told her, I said, baby, I said, you've only got 17 days left. I said, finish strong. You had a great first year. Don't let these last 2 weeks do you in. This is what I told her. I said, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You don't feel well. Things are piling on you. Your computer's not working. Now you got to go to the computer lab or the library and finish these projects. Let the joy of the Lord, you know why you're there. You're there to prepare to serve Him. You're there to prepare to do whatever God would call you to do. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Hey, listen, dear friend, tomorrow, don't focus on all the negativity. Don't focus on the trials. Don't focus on all the fiery darts that the devil may throw. Don't focus on the projects that may get thrown on you. Tomorrow, have a song in your heart and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Sing while you serve. Sing while you serve. I'm thankful tonight for a wife who whatever she's doing at home, she's got good godly music on and she's singing while she serves. She's listening to it while she serves. And by the way, that doesn't just help her, that helps the whole house. Sing while you serve. Make sure it's a good song. Make sure it's a song that's going to bring you into the presence of God Almighty. And let's be as the servants of God, as free, not using our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Father, we love You tonight. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word tonight. Father, we know tonight that You've called us to serve. Father, most of us tonight have different areas of ministry and service. We've all been called to the Great Commission. We've all been called to obedience. But Father, some of us have different areas of ministry. We have different areas of service. But Father, it doesn't matter about the area of service. Father, You've called all of us to serve obediently. You've called all of us to serve acceptably. You've called all of us to serve quietly, not answering again, just being obedient. Yes, sir, I'm going to do this. Lord, You've called all of us to serve faithfully. Lord, You've called all of us to serve joyfully. Father, I pray that You'd help us to do that this week. Father, help us not to allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to burden us down. Father, to pile one thing upon another till we get to the point that we just have a spirit of complaining and murmuring. Lord, help us to sing while we serve this week for Your honor and Your glory. Help us, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask all of us who are physically able to stand tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Chris has come to the piano tonight. He's going to play. Friend, if you're here tonight without Christ, I beg you to come. You need to be saved. You need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. But in this auditorium, I know that the vast majority of individuals have given a testimony of salvation. So for us tonight, I ask the question, how is our service? First of all, are you serving? But then how is our service tonight? Are we serving? Are we serving joyfully tonight? Are we serving obediently or do we constantly have a spirit of complaining and murmuring? Do we serve quietly, acceptably? Do we serve faithfully tonight? I want to admonish you this week to sing while you serve. Sing while you serve. It'll help you tomorrow when the boss has a cantankerous spirit with you. Sing while you serve. Because ultimately you're serving Him anyway. You're serving Christ. Sing while you serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Hey kids, tomorrow, When mom and dad give you some projects, maybe when you get home from school, mom and dad may have a list of things they need you to finish before they get home. Sing while you serve. Never fear, only trust and obey. Amen. Look